Well, welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast brought to you by Tab Touch. Today, can Liverpool's passion be translated to the AFL? Outrage continues over Ablett's appeal, particularly from Duff and I. The Saints won't be a walkover for the Eagles. Is the Port v Crows showdown the best AFL derby? Is Clarko the chosen one to beat GWS? And who plays where for Frio if Blakely returns?
That was out of bounds!
What's your name?
You're quite brilliant. Yeah, terrific.
Oh, that is... Oh, that's what it is.
The stadium holds its breath.
It's Duff and Quarters.
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Well, hello everybody, Thursday, and that means it's time for the second edition this week of the Duff and Quarters podcast. We're brought to you by Tab Touch, and I have with me in the studio Glenn Quatermain, the sports editor of the Sunday Times. I am Mark Duffield, the senior football writer at the West Australian. Quarters, this is the podcast where...
We're in a program to become better people, Duff.
Like Stephen May.
That's right.
Or, as Ross Lyon said this week, we're trying to be the best versions of ourselves.
Yeah, I've been trying to be the best version of myself for some time. I just can't quite get there, Duff. Now, just let's code hop for a moment. Let's code hop. It was hard to ignore the footage overnight of Tottenham Hotspur and that goal in the 95th minute.
Yes.
Of injury time, fifth minute of injury time. Amazing stuff. And we go back to the victory of 24 hours earlier of Liverpool in front of the Kop. And I guess it's a question. Is there a better song in world sport?
You'll Never Walk Alone?
Then You'll Never Walk Alone. Because it was really hard to not be moved listening to that and the passion. There were players crying. The manager was, you could see, while he's not English, you could see him being swept up in it all. It's just amazing scenes. And, you know, could we perhaps translate this to AFL?
Well, should. Let's say West Coast has a great win at Optus Stadium, and you know, let's say they beat Collingwood late in the season in front of 55,000 people, and they win, you know, by 5 or 10 points. Should they have a song? And for heaven's sake, not their team song, because I don't think 55,000 people want to be out there singing "We're the Eagles, West Coast Eagles." But maybe pick a song and sing that as a group, arm in arm, the players out in the middle of the ground, sing that in front of their fans and share that moment.
Or do they just sing their song out on the ground rather than in the rooms?
I don't like their song.
Yeah.
I don't like either of the WA team songs.
I don't mind either of them, actually. But I think perhaps being out on the ground, it's got something to it.
I reckon...
Let's be honest. You're never going to replicate You'll Never Walk Alone. I mean, it's just a beautiful song and what it represents.
Yeah.
As much as the great song that it is... which I think is from Rodgers and Hammerstein's Carousel, Duff, if my memory serves me correctly, being somewhat of a thespian myself in the dark past.
A thespian?
Yes. But as much as obviously the tragedy that has confronted Liverpool over the years as well.
Yep.
It's just so much meaning for that club, and it's really hard to replicate that. But we can go halfway, and I think it's probably time for us to look at that. I think so. A lot of the Melbourne clubs are now they're playing the song on the giant screen before they've had a chance to leave. It sort of keeps them there for a little while afterwards.
It's kind of like a cardboard cutout of the Liverpool moment, though, isn't it?
Really? Yeah, look, we could have a crack. Yeah, it's never going to replicate it, but we can have a go.
But
I'm all for it.
You don't have to sing. You can pick a song that resonates with your fans.
Port Adelaide has.
Exactly.
With that great Adelaide band In Excess.
Never Tear Us Apart.
Port Adelaide football, Duff.
the Port way, Glenn.
Oh, yes.
The Port way.
Port Adelaide football. Dropping the T. Ah, dear. No, look, it's food for thought, and I'd like to see them have a go at it. I think, you know, that even post-grand final they've got pretty well right now, haven't they, with the band coming out and the players involved. But, you know, it's amazing.
All right, well, as predicted, Gary Ablett got off the other night.
Well, Duff, I was going to say, if you're playing, here's a message to all AFL players, and we know a lot of them listen to our podcast, Duff, and if you're getting towed up by your opponent this weekend, just leap in the air and elbow him in the back of the head. Apparently it's carte blanche now. You can get away with it. So there's your tactic.
Yeah, the problem I have with the ruling is that...
It's wrong, Duff. That's wrong. What the problem is.
But when Nathan Fyfe did it against Levi Greenwood, they basically said he had nowhere to go in terms of defending the charge because when you raise your forearm and hit a guy in the head, it is deemed to be intentional.
Which is exactly what Little Gaz did.
And so why was it not deemed to be intentional?
I don't know. I'm scratching my head. So it's wrong. Let's move on.
It's because they needed to get him off.
Yeah, that's right.
And sometimes they try to put you on the hook and sometimes they try and get you off the hook. And that was a classic case of big push from the Melbourne media and they decided they would get him off. And what a load of rubbish.
Now, we should mention going into round 8 of the AFL for those the 3 games that are on Sunday, all the mothers out there, enjoy your day. It is Mother's Day.
Yes.
Have a lovely day. I hope your team wins, or at the very least you have a nice lunch or breakfast.
Exactly.
Look after your mums.
Breakfast in bed.
Of course.
And if your mum doesn't like breakfast in bed, then at least a nice cooked breakfast, something that she will remember. Nice cup of coffee. And
just look after your mum.
And then later in the day, sort of a nice wine or champagne to sweeten her day.
Yep.
Okay, let's get on with tipping some winners in round 8, Glenn.
Oof. And there are some...
Are we optimistic? Are we realistic? Or are we pessimistic going into round 8?
All three.
All three?
Depending on who you support. Right. I'm a bit of all three, being a Hawthorn supporter, to be okay. honest. Friday night at the SCG, Sydney v Essendon. Not so long ago, you'd look at this game as an audit of your team and as of a opportunity to see how you're going to measure up. But I think Sydney's record at the SCG has been poor the last couple of seasons. We have seen them fall away. They needed to manufacture goals. They found Papley with 4 last week, but I don't know. If Buddy doesn't play, I don't know where their goals are coming from against a pretty good Essendon backline. Look, I think Essendon win this game. They haven't got a great record at the SCG. Not many teams do. I think they have to win this Essendon. Last 2 weeks, Collingwood Cats defeats. They've been pretty good. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of distance between them and Geelong on the scoreboard last week, but I think they've still been pretty good. But so they're thereabouts. They're 2 good teams they've played. But I think if they need to stay in contention for their top 4 spot, this is a game they can't afford to let slip, and I don't think they will. I think I'm having Essendon by about just under 5 goals winning this game.
So given that Sydney is no longer the audit, does the AFL need new accountants?
Yeah, probably does. Who is the audit now, Duff? Is it Geelong? Is it Collingwood? Is it GWS?
I reckon it might be Collingwood. I reckon they're the ones that you've got to go up against that big midfield.
Yep.
I reckon that is the big test.
Yeah, I would have thought, if at full strength playing at full capacity, it's pretty hard to see Collingwood not winning the flag. But I think there might be a couple of teams, one in orange and one in the
blue and white hoops.
Might have something to say about it.
I'm going along with you. I'm going to tip the Bombers to get up at the SCG. One cautionary comment I would say is that Essendon is very much a plan A team and they love the bounce off the back. They love to go quick and there's not a lot of room to go quick at the SCG. So it can work 2 ways for them. They can either shift the ball very quickly to dangerous positions or they can run into trouble very quickly and get stung on turnover. So watch out for that. That's going to be a key to this game. And it's going to take a little bit of decision-making, I think, from their rebounding backs. But provided they handle that, provided they handle the pressure that comes with that, I suspect they'll just be too good for Sydney, who are... I think the Swans are in for a bleak year.
Yeah, 77 inside 50s last week, and they lost by 22, the Swans. So I think that shows where they're at with that forward line at the moment. Mm. They just can't get on the scoreboard. So yep. I would expect Essendon win this by 28. On to Saturday, and we're off to Mars, Duff. Our favourite place, Ballarat.
The hole in the ground.
Western Bulldogs v Brisbane. Dogs 3-4, Brisbane 5-2. Mars in Ballarat, the hole in the ground. That's right. Those who haven't listened to our podcast in the past, it is an indigenous word, Ballarat. It means hole in the ground. And if you go to Ballarat, you'll see a lot of aerials sticking up from rooftops. And that's because it's in a hole. It's why you can find gold there, Duff.
So
in history.
Does Bella mean hole and does Bella rat mean
Ballarat,
ground?
It means hole in the ground, I believe, yes.
So which is which? Ballarat?
Oh, I don't know. I think is hole. I think.
I don't want to go up to say someone and say, shut your a rat and find out I'm saying shut your ground.
That's right. Well, a friend of mine once told a visiting American tourist that Qantas was the indigenous word for kangaroo. What a pity I can't be there in the US when they're relaying that story. However, However, Western Bulldogs v Brisbane, of course, this is a Brisbane side we expect to play finals. Now, at least I do. I expect them to play finals. The only question is whether they're going to be in that top four. A huge shout-out to McCluggage. He's having a breakout year and is probably in the All-Australian team as we speak. Having said that, Norton, great form last week. The Bont in probably Brownlow medal-winning form at the moment. Ballarat, first time that Brisbane have been there. It's a fair way from the Gabba. I just think it's, just a different sort of environment. I expect the Dogs to win this one, but it'll be an arm wrestle.
And better to go to Ballarat in early May than mid-July, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Look, it's a good spot. It is a good little city, but, it can be very, very cold.
Yes. I'm going to tip the Doggies, and I think you summed it up. It's a long way from Brisbane.
Norton v Andrews, maybe.
Is Andrews right? Because he's obviously had the hamstring.
He plays, so Trengove's the other option. He came back in last week, did a pretty good job on Lynch. Maybe he gets Hipwood, so they've got the options there to cover them.
Yeah, I'm going to tip the Doggies. I just wonder whether the Lions are travelling super well at the moment, and by travelling I mean when they actually do travel. I think they're very formidable at the Gabba, and I think they will get better on the road as the season goes on, as they look to they learn, I guess, if they look to what they're getting wrong on the road and they do something about it. But I think this will be a quirky ground to play at. There'll be a lot of wind because obviously it's open. You don't have the grandstands all around it. Those are things that they're going to have to get their head around, and I think the Dogs will handle that.
As long as it's
bit
not
better.
Horizontal rain in your face. It would be like getting hit by icicles, I reckon.
Well, that was what it was like last year when Port Adelaide went there, wasn't it?
Yeah, formidable place. On to the MCG, Carlton v Collingwood. Carlton, it seems like every second week we're talking about them needing to make a statement. Well, I think they do need to make a statement, but it's really hard seeing them making one, as I expect Liam James not to play after that courageous act last week. So given that he's not playing, I just don't see any hope for Carlton. I think a competitive 5-goal loss would be a great result for Carlton this week against the Collingwood side. 1-4 in a row, that it's really hard to see Carlton making any inroads.
So did Eddie's comments about
interesting week for Eddie.
About Brendan Bolton's future, basically.
Yes, which it's very interesting timing now. So we're talking about there's a bit of a media discussion war, whatever you want to call it, going on between Mark Robinson and Eddie Maguire at the moment. Eddie's come out and said that if I was Carlton, I'd be getting in Clarko's ear to see if he wants to coach them. There's been some questions cast about whether Eddie, which hat are you wearing, Eddie? Look, I don't mind Eddie making those comments. I think sometimes the lines are blurred. I just want to know I guess it's fair to say, are you wearing your president's hat? Are you wearing your media hat? But he is a media commentator. I don't mind him making those comments as long as we know it's coming from that vantage point. Having said that, it was interesting timing given they're playing the Blues this week, but I'm not sure they need any extra hit or any extra leg up against the Blues this week. I think they'll win it.
They don't. I'll be interested to see what sort of intensity and effort the Carlton team brings, though, because no matter how you paint that, it is a slight on the Carlton coach.
Yep.
And so if the players are still on board and full on board, then we should see a supreme effort from them, particularly early. There should be some sort of statement made.
Well, North had the ball 128 times more than Carlton last week.
Yeah, so at least, if you're Carlton in this game, pick one area of the game.
Yeah, get the footy.
Which is effort-based.
Yeah.
And say, we will not be humiliated in this area of the game. They might outplay us, they might outrun us, they might outskill us, they might just have more talent on the field, but we will not be beaten, or certainly not be beaten up in, contested ball, around stoppage, tackles, all those things that you can measure in commensurate with effort. I think Carlton needs to make a statement in that area.
So I think it'll be a 10-goal victory to Collingwood minimum, but I'm hoping for Carlton's sake, 5. And if it's 5, I think that's a reasonable result.
Yeah, I'd say about 50 points. Yep. I think that's going to be about the ball mark.
Another game with a bit of an asterisk or question mark over it, Gold Coast v Melbourne at Metricon. Now, Gold Coast dropped away a bit. So they're not now the side you look at and think, geez, it's going to be harder than you think. Melbourne, I just still don't know where they're at. They beat Hawthorn last week by a kick. Could have lost it. I don't think either side impressed, so it's really hard to see where they're at. Maybe they get some confidence of it. For me, the matchup of this will be Witts v Gawn. Gawn's back into some pretty really, really good form. I think he's number one rated player at the moment by the AFL. So I expect Melbourne to win this one, but I'm not you know, I'm concerned for the D's in this game.
Yeah, me too. If we look at, and I think Gold Coast this year is going to be one of those teams where you're going to have to assess them on home and away form very much. If you look at their home form, they had a good win over Fremantle in round two. They had a great win over Carlton in round four. And then they played Brisbane in round six. Now, Brisbane only has to go half an hour up the road to get to Gold Coast. Anyone who has to come in from out of state and face the humidity and the different atmospheric conditions and the greasy, you know, ground and the greasy ball underfoot, all those things, I think it will become challenging for them. And I think this is a, you know, this is one of those games where if Melbourne is going to get their season back on track, they just got to find a way.
Well, if they don't win, that's it. I said this last week, they had to beat Hawthorn. Now they have to beat Gold Coast, and that's where they're at now. They just can't lose these games that are winnable. They just cannot lose them.
Because I think next week they're coming to Perth, aren't they, to play West Coast. So, you know, I don't like their chances there. So they've got to find a way to W on this one. And if they do that and they somehow get, let's say they lose to West Coast, but they win after the one after that and they get to round 10, 4-6, then you can make some sort of run.
You're within sight.
At it later in the season, but otherwise they're going to be too far back. I'm going to tip Melbourne quarters.
I'm going 5 points. I'm going to say within a kick.
I reckon it's under 10. I reckon this is going to be pretty close. I loved the way Gold Coast, when that whole game against West Coast threatened to get right away from them last week, I loved the way they dug in.
Yeah.
And it wasn't pretty, and they didn't ever look really likely to pinch it, but they dug in and they said, we're not walking off this ground humiliated, we're going to fight. And they got back to 11 points, and I thought they carried themselves really well. I think if they bring that sort of effort again, they will be a mighty challenge.
So probably in the second step of being legitimate. So you look at it and you have your first step where you're developing team. Your second step is losing well.
Yeah.
And not losing by 10 to 15 goals every, you know.
Yeah.
So I think this is an important year for them to make a statement. You might beat us, but you're going to have a game on your hands here. So let's hope that they can maintain that sort of pressure. It was a good effort last week.
And I would urge Gold Coast as well to have a look at the state game over here this week, the Waffle versus
the SANFL.
The SANFL, and have a look at a few players and see if there's not one or two more mature age bodies that they can get in there and play pretty much straight away.
Yep, get them in the mid-year draft.
Add a bit of maturity, a bit of physical maturity to that list, protect their kids, get through the season without being completely molested, and then reload and try and start climbing the ladder in 2020.
St Kilda v West Coast at Marvel Stadium. Lost their last two, St Kilda, and while Ross Steele, Gresham are still, and Marshall in the ruck's been pretty good too, their still level of effort is still right up there. They just dropped away, as we expected they would have, I think. West Coast, great first half, question marks over the second half last week. This is a good game for them, travelling to continue to get things right and set their season up, or set their run to the bye up.
And I think St Kilda will bring pressure. That is the Saints, that is their proclaimed brand. So they'll be a pressure team, which means the things that West Coast have been a bit dozy in, which is around the footy, around the contest, sustaining that for four quarters, maintaining that energy level for four quarters, they're going to have to be on.
Yep.
And then provided they're on in that area and provided they match St Kilda in that area, then their skill will show out and they'll get over the top of them. I'm going to tip West Coast. I think there's just an element of danger.
I'm going two goals. So 12 points for me for West Coast.
I reckon 20 points.
Vulnerable players. Do you think Venables, Maston, do either of them come out?
I reckon they're vulnerable.
Yeah.
Simo's shown a propensity to hold his nerve and stay with his tried and true. It would only take a loss in a game like this, I reckon, for that policy to shift pretty dramatically.
Adelaide v Port Adelaide. Now, you talk about what's going to be the match of the round this week, and there are a couple of contenders. This is definitely one of them. A week ago, I probably would have picked Port, but with Wines, Robbie Gray, Ebert, Jonas, and already Watson Hartlett out, it's pretty hard to make a case for them. Adelaide, that just brutal game against Freo last week, but maybe, the contested side of it may help Adelaide. I know you've got some commentary on that too, but I'm going to pick Adelaide here. Interesting, the 23-22 they're ahead in the showdowns.
Yeah, it's a great rivalry.
It is a great rivalry, and we talk about what is the great rivalry in footy these days, and obviously we talk about the Derby over here, but you know, I'm not sure if the showdown's not the number one rivalry in it.
Oh, I think of all the, it's certainly the most even rivalry over the years. I mean, Fremantle, before they their list collapsed and they embarked on this rebuild, Fremantle actually got back to within one.
Yeah, they did.
Behind West Coast in the Derby head-to-head. So that was certainly building very nicely. We haven't often had our two teams in the same space in terms of contending at the same time. It's tended to be one up and one not as far up as the other. There've been some, I think in 2006 they were both there or thereabouts. 2015 they were both there and thereabouts. 2011 and 2012 were years where they were also both up and about. So when you get those years, that's when the Derby becomes special. Adelaide's teams have tended to be around about the same place on the ladder, and so they're great games.
They're also 8-7 now on both 4 and 3.
Yeah.
So this is a beautifully balanced, weighted game, apart from the Port withdrawal through injury. So, Quarters,
what we've seen from Adelaide, I reckon, in the last 2 weeks, we've had a lot of commentary from Taylor Walker about we need to get back to our contested brand. Now, I always thought they were a ball movement team and not a contested team.
That's what they've been.
But clearly, There's a clear focus on the contested side of the game. They're better in that area just because they've got the two Crouches, not just one. Rory Sloane is out there as well. They put Cam Ellis-Yeoman into the middle last week
as
well.
Good job on Fife.
So that's another big, strong body. Fremantle came away from that game believing they hadn't been put under that sort of pressure for 1 to 2 years by another team. They felt Adelaide's pressure was absolutely elite. And at times it probably brought the Dockers undone a little bit. I reckon
Adelaide might have said the same thing as well. You could certainly see on Taylor Walker's face after the game. He'd had a game.
It was a fierce game. It was an extremely fierce game. I reckon that, provided it hasn't banged them up and worn them out too much, I think that's ideal preparation for this. And I just think Port, they're up against it here, Quarters. They've got too many out. And the Crows are building. And I think Port are licking their wounds a bit. I could see this one going Adelaide's way pretty decisively.
I'm going to say 3 goals. I'm going to say 18 points. Because I have a bit of respect for the way Port are going about it. So I'm going to say 18.
The Port way.
The
Port Adelaide football.
Port Adelaide football.
Okay.
Drop the T.
Look, if they get away with this, get out of this with anything under a 3-goal loss, I think more power to them because that would be a great effort.
Never tear us apart, mate. Sunday, on to Sunday, North Melbourne
v. They might sing Never Tear Us Apart if they win this one.
They will. North Melbourne v. Geelong at Marvel Stadium on Sunday. I will mention the Scott brothers. Quite apt that it's Mother's Day and the Scott brothers are coaching against each other. Geelong, who retained Little Gaz. North Melbourne, a much better effort last week. Big win over Carlton. Zeeble Cunnington, Jed Anderson, who's very eye-opener watching him play. He's a very contested player as well. And Ben Brown getting amongst it. And Zerha last week with 5. So I don't think he'll be getting 5 this week. I think Geelong will be... I think they're just... It's interesting. You look at the defences in the comp now. Geelong ranked 1, Freo ranked 2. Mm. Probably Freo ranked 1, really, because the ball just hasn't been in Geelong's defence that much. They just do that. It's a forward 50 game for Geelong.
Well, their defence, that's the big change for Geelong, isn't it? Yeah. Their ability to apply pressure inside attacking 50, and they've basically started playing modern footy. It was a bit like Roger Federer picking up the bigger racket and going, yeah, oh, I wonder what will happen if I use this one.
Yeah. So their bigger racket, we're talking Luke Dalhouse.
Luke Dalhouse has been fantastic for them. Gary Rowan adds real speed and pressure
down
there.
With Dalhouse, with his tackling pressure, I think he's been a real asset for them. So I think Geelong win this one by about 5 goals.
Yeah, I'll tip Geelong. I was really pleased for North Melbourne last week. I hope they continue to play Jack Zeeble midfield, because I think they're going to need that sort of class and that sort of muscle around the midfield for most of the season.
He probably gets a match up with Kelly, I think, this week.
Is Kelly the one they tag now, do you think?
I think he is at the moment. I do. I think he is.
That's an amazing rise.
He generally gets a run with. Yeah, it is.
That's an amazing rise. So you're in a midfield with Paddy Dangerfield and Joel Selwood.
And you're the one getting tagged.
And you're the one that's getting tagged.
Mm.
is an incredible.
It is. As we said earlier in the week, you know, he had a great year last year, but I think we expected not the intensity level to be the same, and it is this year. Mm.
No, he's done a fantastic job, Timmy Kelly. Good player, very good person, and I think he's going to get a very good contract one way or the other at the end of the year. Wherever he is.
Well, I'm tipping he'll be over here. Just not sure who with yet.
Geelong by 5 goals for me, Quarters. Yes,
I'm going to say Geelong 28, just under the 5-goal mark. Hawthorn v GWS at the MCG. Very big big in for Hawthorn, and has to be, is Frawley.
Yep.
Was playing well before he pinged his hammy.
So he goes to Cameron?
Has to go to Jeremy Cameron. If he doesn't play, it's an oh dear situation for Hawthorn, I think. I think GWS should win this by about minimum of about 4 goals. They play the G better now. Going beautifully in the middle. Beautiful rebound off halfback and multiple options in the forward line. Hawthorn defence just struggling a little bit. Frawley will help that. Obviously, Sicily is a very good player. But I just think at Hawthorn, you know, Clarkson might pull some genius out of his pocket this week. But I don't know if he's got the cattle to beat a side like GWS in the form they're in with the layers to that team.
Can we see him come up with something that tips them on their backside? We saw...
Tips GWS on their backside?
Yeah, so in round two, we saw GWS come here. They had 62 inside 50s to 47 against West Coast, and they kept on kicking it to West Coast interceptors, and they got picked off and badly beaten. We know that Adam Simpson comes out of the Hawthorn school, yep. So therefore someone like Alistair Clarkson is going to be a very big influence on the way he goes about it. They have a great interceptor in James Sicily. Mm. I'm talking about a great interceptor.
Yeah.
He's a very good player. He can hurt you going the other way. Is it possible that Clarko can come up with something in this game?
It's possible. I'm just questioning whether the cattle are there to carry it out. It's all right to have the plan, but the execution is another thing altogether.
Yeah, I'm going to be fascinated by this one. I'm tipping GWS because it's the percentage tip. But I reckon I'm on Clarko watch this weekend.
I hope you're right, Duff.
If he hasn't been too busy having either coffee with Carlton or Gil McLaughlin about the umpiring this week, I reckon that Clarko might come up with something.
On to the final game and arguably the most important, Freo v Richmond Optus Stadium. Richmond's with quite a few holes in that side now. Obviously, there's still a lot of talent there, but Freo, it's hard to make a case for Richmond, and I'm not going to. I'm going to pick Freo to win by about 2 goals.
Mm-hmm.
Lynch... not having everything his own way at the moment. It's pretty hard for him down there with no Rewalt and a few players missing. I don't think he's been as bad as being painted, but he's finding it a bit tough at the moment, and he's certainly going to find it tough against the Fremantle defence that I rate number one in the comp at the moment. I think that's where it gets done. I just don't see Richmond, despite the ability, players like Martin, I just don't see the ability to put enough pressure on the scoreboard this weekend.
I'm going to tip Fremantle. I think... when you're a club like Fremantle and you could finish as low as 12th or 13th, or you could finish high as 6th, and the draw and another club situation presents you with an opportunity like this, you just have to take it. Because there'll be other times, like in round 22 last year, where they went to Geelong with a vulnerable team and got absolutely hammered. This is Richmond coming here with a vulnerable team. It's debatable whether they have enough tall defenders to match up on Tabana and Hogan and Lobb.
Well, they don't.
McCarthy, if he plays. I'm not sure McCarthy will play. I'm going to be interested.
What happens there? Do they? So there's a school of thought that McCarthy comes out, Darcy comes in, Lobb goes forward.
I'd be tempted, if I was Freo, to leave Lobb where he is for now. And I'd be tempted to send David Mundy forward, give him a bit of a spell out of the midfield, because he is, at the end of the day, 33 years old.
And has been magnificent in the first 7 rounds.
And play him in that McCarthy role.
So Connor Blakely comes into the...
Connor Blakely comes in, plays in the midfield.
Okay, so Chera stays at halfback.
Yep.
Connor Blakely comes into the mid.
Oh, I'd even sort of mix and match a bit with Chera and Blakely, halfback into the midfield. Yep. The more they can get Adam Chera in and the sooner they can do that, the better it is for his long-term development. Blakely's played well at halfback and in the midfield over the last couple of years, so no issue there. So I'd mix and match those two, but I would be giving... I saw David Mundy play some great footy as a mid-forward last year, you know, finished second in Fremantle's best and fairest. That is the way I would be heading, and I think Fremantle can win this. I don't think they'll win by a lot, but I think they'll win by about I agree. 20 points.
Nice little subplot too. Let's see how Reece Conker goes against the Tigers.
Yes, yes.
Always interesting first up against the old mob.
And they'll be a little bit fierce where Reece is concerned. Oh, sure. Mind you, he was kind of squeezed a bit with salary cap, wasn't he?
Was.
So they shouldn't have too many hard feelings towards Reece and him leaving the club.
That would be unlike Richmond, bagging an ex-player. Just ask anyone who's left Richmond.
Well, remember that famous trade war between Richmond and Collingwood in the 1980s?
You know, Brett Deledio still cops it on social media from Richmond fans.
Does he?
But Brett Deledio, who gave his heart and soul to that club.
And left and they won a flag.
Years, and they left and they won a flag and they still bag him on social media.
Yeah.
I cannot get my head around that.
Well, they're footy fans.
I know. But they take it to a new level, a higher level, Richmond, I'm telling you.
Yeah, they do.
Hello to all my Richmond friends out there.
They are feral. They are feral. All right. Well, we hope you tip a few this weekend. It's been a bit better the last couple of weeks, a little bit more predictable. So hopefully that continues this
Not
weekend.
Not likely, Duff. There'll be some surprises around the corner.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. But at the end of the day, maybe not five or six surprises like we were getting in the earlier rounds.
True.
We've been brought to you by Tab Touch. We'll be back on Tuesday for a complete wrap of the round and the implications of all the results. Happy Mother's Day to all the mums out there. Make sure you look after them, and we'll talk to you again come Tuesday.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch.